Welcome to Cybersecurity Insights, the podcast for the cybered.io learning community. Our goal is to bring cybersecurity practitioners the latest and most relevant education and training to upskill and dive deeper into topics that matter in today's modern cybersecurity world.
Good day, everyone. This is Steve King. I'm the managing director at cybered.io, and with me today is Eyal Fisher, who is the co-founder and CPO of a company called Sweet Security, and is a veteran technology guy. He's been around more than 20 years running various different R&D and cyber technology units with the IDF. He was head of the Cyber Operations Center in Unit 8200 as well. And before founding Sweet, he was the founder and CEO of a company called Appreciate.me, a retail tech startup that created facial recognition technology for brick and mortar stores. He's also served as the head of delivery at Talon, helped to build that company, bring first customers in, executed implementations for them, and he holds a master's and bachelor's degree with honors in electronics engineering from Tel Aviv University. So welcome, Eyal. It was great to have you here on our show today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good. Well, let's get the backstory on Sweet. That's an amazing name that you guys have plucked for it. That very, very sort of B2C-ish, and maybe that goes to your retail background. I don't know. Tell us about it.
Okay. So the truth is that the name comes from that the fact that we identified a huge problem in the cloud security arena. We understood that security teams and their CISOs are getting miserable when getting to cloud security arena. Back in the days that all we had it was on-prem environments, endpoint servers, and networks, you know, if a CISO would like to implement a firewall or an antivirus or whatever they wanted to do, they could have done anything. And now in cloud cloud environment, actually, I call it like it's a responsibility without the authority. Cloud environments are very delicate. Organizations look at them as a precious asset, and no one wants that environment to be harmed. So now when the CISO would like to implement a security measure, the R&D guys will come and say, oh, don't touch anything, don't do anything, let us check it, let us do that and that. In the end, nothing happens. So the CISO and the security team are in a position that it's very, you know, complicated. And we would like to change that to a sweet spot and something sweeter than the way it is. And the way to do it is like bringing a solution that will help them make their life easier, make their job sweeter. So that's what we are here for.
Yeah. Isn't the bulk of the challenge with cloud computing related to the complexity, and which results in frequent configuration errors? Is that the biggest vulnerability that you guys see?
Well, yes, that's the biggest part, but that's not the only part, because, you know, posture aspects of configuration stuff can be handled in a way that won't, you know, that from the outside of the environment. The problem is that you always have to assume that at the end you are going to get breached. And exactly as you said, the environment is very complicated. So even if you try to keep everything in place, upgrade your posture, make sure that everything's fine, at the end it's too complicated to assume that you are not going to be breached. So you have to know what's happening in your environment in runtime, in real time, so you will get to know when you are getting breached, and you will know it in time in order to remediate your environment.
Yeah, so tell us about what the product does that enables that.
Yeah, so we deploy a sensor to the environment that enables you a deep observability to the environment, utilizing eBPF technology that evolved during the last few years. And we are doing it in a way that lets you utilize the deep observability to the environment, so you will get at the end a detection and response solution that not only detects sophisticated attacks, it also presents it in a way, as I said, a sweet way, a way that enables you to understand everything that happened from start to end, without the need to be like a rocket science, without the need to have tons of cloud security experts, everything in context, everything in one place. So that's what we do. Not only that, we understood that we have insights to your environment in runtime that can be utilized also in order to prevent attacks. So that's why we call our solution a runtime suite, meaning that we are doing a lot of things, not just one, not just a detection response. We also provide measures to help you have a safer environment even before the attack. So all in all, that's in a nutshell what we are doing.
Yeah. So a lot of the threats, I think it's fair to say a lot of the threats these days come from, you know, overly permissive access and containers and, you know, like Kubernetes misconfigurations. And, you know, thank God, you know, when I was doing the CISO work a few years ago, it none of that was an annoyance at that time, but it sure is now. And what are your thoughts around, I mean, do you actually, can you detect, for example, an overly permissive access to a container in advance and say, hey guys, you need to check this or not? Or are you really at runtime and doing just pure threat detection?
No. So exactly that. I mean, we can do things even prior to the attack, right? Understanding where your environment is not safe, utilizing our insights from the runtime. So we can understand that, for example, a specific container has privilege that it is not using, right? I mean, you might assume that was the intention of the developer to give that permission, but we can tell you that container doesn't need it. So now you can go and change the permission without jeopardizing the environment. So that's for one end. The other hand is that we can also understand, as you said, if someone is trying to utilize that, opportunity, an attacker. And now the problem is that most attacks look like legitimate actions that are performed in the environment. And that's the biggest issue, the biggest problem, because if an attack looks like other attacks that happened somewhere else, that's easy to detect, utilizing, you know, rules, simple rules that will catch those attacks. The problem is, what happens when an attacker is doing things that look legitimate? Okay, so now you won't be able to detect the attack only after, you know, the damage was done. So what we do is, like, we build a baseline of the environment. We understand how it works in normal, you know, in a day-to-day basis, how it works, how it behaves, and we identify the deviations from that baseline, the abnormal behavior of the environment. So that's our secret sauce or differentiation between other detection response solutions to ours.
Yeah, sure, but what math is involved in doing that?
What math? Yeah, so you need, in order to do that, you need of course algorithms that will enable you to understand what is a deviation. We are going to, we didn't yet, but we are going to, we're trying to understand if AI is going to help in that aspect, because it's going to help in various aspects. But we are checking to see if it's going to help us in that aspect as well.
Yeah, the right. So if, you know, baselines are tricky, right? If you baseline me today and I already have a bad actor in my network, you're baselining that bad actor's behavior as well. So that becomes normal. How do you differentiate between, you know, normal bad and normal real bad?
And no, real bad. So what we do is, we are not neglecting the old-fashioned detection rules, TTPs, and stuff like that. So we hope, I mean, what we do is combine both strategies, baselining and the deviation rules, and TTPs, detection rules, and stuff. So we combine those two together. So for one hand, we would like not to miss attacks that look legitimate, from one hand. On the other hand, we would like to have a very low ratio of false alert, combining those two methods together.
Which is tricky as well, right?
It is. I didn't say that it's. I didn't say that it's easy.
Yeah, you did not. That's true. With generative AI on the prowl here, it's hardly on the horizon anymore. It's everywhere. How does what is the implication to incident response and SOC teams, and how do they need to evolve to deal with that sort of new reality? I mean, you know, it's going to be very difficult, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, not only the defenders are going to utilize AI, Gen AI, the attackers are going to do it as well. So we should be ready. I think that the most important thing that we can benefit out of that technology is the ability to digest a very large volume of data. So, and understanding what should be the next step when you have a very complicated environments, and cloud environments are exactly that, exactly those kind of environments. SOC teams are very good in, you know, analyzing or detecting and responding to things that happens in on-prem environments. Going to cloud environments, you find out that they know very little. They are not an experts in cloud security, and usually they won't be able to understand what should be the next step. What does that detection means? I mean, is it important? Is it not? So here comes the Gen AI to digest all the data to help those guys to be smarter, you know, with all the knowledge behind them, all the things that they can rely on. So I think that it's going to help a lot in those aspects, especially for the SOC team, by the way.
Yeah. So what specific use cases do you see in the near future? I mean, practically speaking, that companies can depend upon to leverage generative AI in defense, as opposed to what the bad guys are doing. We know the bad guys are going to get there first. They're already there. It's in use today. But what can average company do in terms of?
Yeah, it's so many companies are implementing Gen AI for risk analysis. Many companies are using it for remediation guidance. I saw many of those. So that's what I meant talking about SOC guys. Remediation guidance can be very tricky due to the complication of the environment. And now you can have, like, you know, a talking manual, right? You can chat with a manual, a very complicated one, and get your answer how to remediate in specific cases that you have. So those are the main things that I think that we can benefit out of them the most, but there are more threat intelligence analysis. That's for an example. Okay, so you get many sources of intelligence and data on your organization, so that can be digested easily or faster than trying to do it on your own, and so on, so on. So each time there is a huge amount of data that should be digested by someone, generally can help a lot.
Yeah. Do you guys integrate, or do you have your own threat intelligence feeds, or how does that work?
We are integrating with threat intelligence feed right now. Better reputation IPs and so on, in order to have full cover to cover the security for the whole cloud environment, not only the things that we are an expert in, the workload themselves, but also things that are happening outside the environment. So we are using threat intelligence feeds in order to do that.
Yeah. Having run SOC teams before, it's the worst job on the planet. How do you, as you well know, how do you eliminate the bulk of the false positives? Lighten up.
That's the main issue. So having an alert fatigue is the worst, problem SOC teams, because after the first, just imagine that when you handled only on-prem environment, you had an alert fatigue, meaning that you had a lot of work.
Right.
Now in cloud environments, just imagine that if you are a SOC guy, now not only that you have a lot of work because you have tons of alerts, now for each one of them, you are not sure what to do.
Right.
So for each one of them, you need maybe a DevOps guy or someone from the R&D to explain to you if that's really an alert, or is it a strange behavior of the application, or some misconfiguration, or maybe something that a developer wrote which is not a best practice and it triggers an alert for each one of those. So after three or four, you're going to give up, right? So the problem is huge. So that's why we did two things. One, we are working very hard on low ratio of false alerts, very hard on that. As I said, by combining the legacy rules of detections with the baselining. Okay, so that's one. The second thing is to show and to present everything in context. So you have everything in one place. You don't have to run after logs and other systems. You have everything in one place from start to end. So it's going to be easier to understand whether what you're looking at is a real attack, something really bad, or is it just another flaw that happened in the software, in the environment. So that's what we are trying to do, exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I assume you sit on top of or behind, if you will, the SIM, and you're taking post control data from NetFlow and Syslog and all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. SIM's processing, right?
Right. We are trying to digest as many data feeds as we can,
and that's what then turns into your version of a true positive alert versus, I assume you eliminate as many false positives in that process as you can automatically, right?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, there is a learning period for the system in order to understand.
So learn the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, to eliminate those kind of alerts that they are not relevant. And so it gets better and better and better.
Sure. Yeah. Are you familiar with Darktrace? So they had a similar approach, you know, with the baselining thing. It usually took them about 6 weeks of baselining. Is that the sort of thing you're talking about in terms of taking a while?
No. We are actually, it depends, but we are doing it very fast because, I mean, we are looking, we have access to the kernel of the of all the nodes in the environment. So we are learning very fast. We utilize file access, networking, process list, CPU consumption, memory, all those things that you can achieve fast in order to understand in seconds or minutes what's happening with the environment. Some of the containers in many environments do not live for more than, you know, minutes.
Yeah.
So if you take like weeks, if it's going to take you weeks in order to learn the baseline, to understand the environment, I mean, actually, I mean, for those kind of environments, you are not relevant. Maybe for other kinds of environments.
Yeah, yeah. So Dai asks that just because if our audience is, you know, thinking through this and is trying to like find a context for what it is that you guys do, I don't want, you know, I want to remove that, you know, complexity from their thinking process. You guys are, I that whole post control analytics and detection model is a really great one in my humble estimation, but we haven't seen anybody do that successfully, I think is what I would say yet, at least that I'm aware of. How come no one's heard of you guys?
How can no one help of us?
Yeah, yeah. Why?
That's because we are pretty new. I mean, we are like a 9 months old, right? And we have started deploying our solution just a few months ago. We have a few installations already with some design partners and first customers already. But yet, we are pretty young, right? It's not like we are operating for a year.
Okay. Well, that's a good.
That's why.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Sure.
But we are running fast. By the way, we are running fast. I mean, we can talk again in a year, and you will see what everyone's going to hear about.
Yeah. Well, we should talk again in a year. So I'm looking at the clock here, conscious of the time. So I think we need to wrap up. But it's been great talking with you. It sounds like a great story. I'm sure you guys will have incredible success. But let's revisit this in 9 to 12 months and kind of see what has happened. But as, you know, now our audience is aware of Sweet and A.L. Fisher and hopefully they've enjoyed the session as much as I have. And so thank you, A.L., for taking the time today to meet with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And good luck to you.
Bye. Thank you.
And thanks to our audience for spending another half hour with us. Hopefully it was entertaining and informative. And until next time, I'm Steve King, your host, signing out.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Cybersecurity Insights. You can connect with us on LinkedIn or Facebook or send us an email at social@cybered.io. For more information about the podcast, visit cybered.io/podcast. Until next week, stay safe and secure, and we'll see you on the next episode of Cybersecurity Insights.